All right, so for this evening, continuing through Book Near Us I Live, we're on chapter 6, 6 Procedures for Pleasing God. And so we've considered that we're trying to please ourselves or please others. That's a big contributor to our problems and to our dealing with addictions and mental health issues. And it's a thing if we instead have the mindset of seeking to please God, then we find we're benefited by it, others are benefited by it. And so we've looked at a couple different things already, the idea of learning to praise and give thanks, learning importance of obedience and honoring the authority that's in our lives. But this evening we're going to look at two other things spoken of in chapter 6, and that's being fruitful and by increasing in knowledge. And that all comes from this verse, Colossians 1 and verse 10. It says, you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And so we want to kind of dissect that a bit and just kind of understand those last two phrases, what they mean and how they can help us when it comes to addictions or mental health and things of that nature. So, when we understand where it says being fruitful in every good work, fruit we define as an outcome or result, right? That you plant a seed, a tree grows or a plant grows, and then fruit comes at the end, right? And that's kind of as it ties in with principle number 9, the idea of consequences, right? That when our actions always have consequences, good and bad, depending on what we've done. And so fruit is an outcome or result. Work is defined as effort. And so what it's saying when God says he wants us to be fruitful in every good work, it's that God wants all our good efforts to produce positive results. And so it's the idea, is that positive results from the good works that we do. And so in times past, we realize that we've put forth effort, but it hasn't been things that are good. It's been things that are unprofitable, things that are vain, things that are oftentimes harmful to ourselves or others. And so there's not any positive results that we have to show for those things that we did. And so we see this verse, Romans 6:21, says, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. And that's the thing, looking back. It's like, what was the fruit of my life before when I was deep in my addiction? It was like, there wasn't any good fruit, that it was destroying me, right? And Ephesians 5:11, it refers to that we now are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And that's really what we want to identify. So much of that past life was there, unfruitful works of darkness. They weren't anything profitable or beneficial to anyone. And so, I think all of us, when we think back on kind of the unprofitability of our lives when we were in that position, is we look at it, we don't want to live lives that don't produce any positive results. It's kind of, the thing is that I think we want to be able to look back on our lives and think, okay, I've made a difference, I've contributed to society in a meaningful way. The world is better for me being here. I think all of us would want to be able to say that, right? And so when we look at our lives and we see, you know, a lot of these things that I've done in the past, these haven't helped, these have actually hurt people. And we're ashamed of that and we say, I don't want that to be the case anymore. I want to live differently. And the thing is, God doesn't want that either. That he wants our lives to be as fruitful in good works as possible. That's his desire for us. We see in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." That we understand that we're new creatures in Christ, and his purpose for creating us is for us to accomplish good works. That's his plan for us. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 14. It says, of the Lord Jesus, it says, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." That he isn't just trying to deliver us from iniquity, like kind of get rid of the negative part. He's trying to get us to a point where we're actually zealous of good works, where we're wanting to do things. I remember, I didn't have it written down, but there's a verse in, I believe it's in Micah, where it talks about a lot of people that they do evil with both hands earnestly. Kind of this picture, like that's what our tendency can be, is like when, especially when we think in terms of our addiction, like we're going whole hog after it, even though it's to our destruction, right? And God wants it to turn around where we're actually, we have that same desire, but it's for things that are positive and beneficial. Titus 3 and verse, go ahead.
How would you define zealous?
Zealous is where you're in, like, very enthusiastic. What's that?
Eager.
Yeah, eager. Yeah, that would, what's that?
Passionate.
Passionate, yes. Yeah, those are all good words, yeah. Yeah, eager, passionate. Yeah, that's the thing, is it's just sort of like you're pumped. It's just, okay, what can I do to be a help to someone else, right? Well, that's what gets you up in the morning. That it's almost, like, if you think of it, especially if, as we have, like, addictive personalities, like, sometimes we woke up and all we were thinking about is the next high or getting what we wanted, right? Where God wants us to be turned around, so it's like instead we're pumped about doing what's good to help someone else. And so it's definitely a change that he has to work in our lives, but that's where he wants us to get to. And it's a blessing that, because that we realize that's something that he can do in our lives, because at certain points we think, well, I've been such a mess, I've hurt so many people, how could I ever get my life turned around? But that's exactly what he desires to do in our lives. And so Titus 3:14 says, "And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful." And so that's the idea, that we want to maintain good works. We want to keep doing things to help other people and to ensure that we will be fruitful. And in John chapter 15, talks about this. Jesus gives a comparison. He says, "I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman." And he says, "Which I'll just get there quickly." He says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges, that it may bring forth more fruit." And so it's the idea is that he's, like, if our lives begin to become fruitful, God isn't, says that's good enough. He's always saying, how can I help this individual become more fruitful in their life? And so that's what God is desiring for us. And so we realize this, is that when we do good, we feel good, right? Like if you help someone and you make a real difference in their life, right? And say if it's like, say there was somebody on the side of the road that's broken down, right? Older lady, say her tire's flat or something, right? And you see, they just have such a look of just kind of worry and anxiety, and you say, okay, here, don't worry, I'll change your tire. And you do that for them, and you just, oh, thank you. You just see the relief on your face, and even though, yes, it took some time out of your day, a bit of an inconvenience for you, you feel good because you know you helped someone, right? And so that's beneficial. When we do good, we feel good. And that's sometimes kind of the thing. You think with our addiction is a lot of times we feel kind of down, and so it's like, well, I'm going to use this substance to pick me up, right? Where sometimes we think, well, hey, if I actually redirect that, how about I do something good for someone else and that be my pick-me-up instead? Kind of realizing that there's other ways, much better ways, to alter our moods, and it's finding what's the most profitable. But the thing is, too, is when we're busy doing good, then we have a lot less time, energy, or desire to do what's wrong, right? It just, like, if you have a full day of doing things, you only have so much energy. And if you're tired, but it's like you're too tired out to give in to something, then that's a good thing. So when we're doing good works, our relapse into addiction becomes less likely. And that's so often what happens is we're trying to maintain sobriety, and it's just kind of, I don't want to give into this and fall back in. But if that's all the level that we're trying to do, it's always going to be that struggle where we're on the edge and feeling like we're going to fall in. Whereas instead, if we're occupied with something else, that if our life is really focused on other things, then really that gives us no reason to go back into the addiction because we have so much more to our lives than what we once did. And so we want to understand that for us to be fruitful in every good work, we first have to define, okay, what is a good work that I can do? And so, because we want to do stuff that's actually good, that's profitable, and if we understand what that is, then we say, okay, this is something I can invest myself in. So first off, it can be working to provide for others. That this is something that's profitable, is a good work. That we see here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, this statement where he says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And you can kind of think of that, of just the whole change, where someone that was basically having a negative effect on society by being a taker, right? That instead this person works hard and then they become a giver, right? That where people are relying on them, where they're providing for others' needs, that's something profitable. But then, secondly, is a thought of where we give our times, talents, and resources to help others in need. And so that's, we see that in 2 Corinthians 9. It's in terms of giving of what we have. And it says, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. That he gives us the ability to give to others, and it helps us to abound in every good work. And Acts chapter 9, I won't read that right now, but it's the story of Dorcas. And she was a lady, an elderly lady, that what she knew how to do is she could sew really well. And so basically, she made all these clothes for poor people in her community, and she ended up dying, and people were so sad, and that's one of the things, like, everybody brought stuff that she had sewed for them. And so it was, she had this talent, she used it to be a help to other people, but as well helping others find freedom. That it's kind of the thing, if you've gotten victory from addiction, that it's the thing, it's like, I want others to find freedom too. If you've come to know the Lord as Savior, it's like, I want others to know about Him as well, so that they can know Him and find the freedom that He alone gives. And so it's that The verse here is a fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that wins souls is wise. That we want to have that fruitfulness to our lives of helping others find new life in Christ. So that's the first thing, is we want to identify what are good works and say, okay, these are things I want to invest myself in. And so we should always be looking for those opportunities. Galatians 6 verse 10 says, as every one of us has opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those that be of the household of faith. So we want to be looking for opportunities to do good to everybody. But we realize that the positive results that our good works could produce can be limited. And so that's the thing he's saying, being fruitful in every good work, that it's possible to be doing a good work but not be as fruitful in it as we could be. And so we want to realize what that is. And it's sort of like, you think of like a farmer, right? It's always, they want to increase their yield and productivity. And sometimes there's different things that, say, changes in their practice where it helps them to increase their yield. And so that's kind of what we're thinking of. It's like, we want to do something good, but we want to make sure it's as profitable and productive as possible. And so there's some things that hinder that, and we want to identify those. Sometimes we can do the right things for the wrong reasons. Okay? And so one example we see in Matthew 6 and verse 1 is where he says, don't do your alms, and alms are like good deeds where you're giving to people that are poor, to be seen of men. And because it's the thing, if you're just doing it to have other people pat you on the back, like it's not going to be as profitable for you spiritually as it could be. Any other ideas of that, of doing something, doing the right thing for a wrong reason?
Get something back.
Yeah, to get something back. Yeah, it's sort of like we talked about a bit, where it's like someone wants to give, but they want to have this big check and have the news people come and take their picture to see, oh, how benevolent I am. And so there's things that we, and what we're doing is we're looking for rewards out of it, but usually it's a very temporal reward, and instead of thinking of that eternal reward. Because a lot of times, like in Jesus said, it's like, if you're going to have a supper, don't call your friends, call the people that are poor, that can never give anything back to you, because that'll show that you're doing it for the right reasons. Because if you invite all your friends, then they'll invite you to their place, and it's just all that back and forth. And so it's learning that, is just sometimes realizing, okay, and that's the whole idea of love, is that we give without the thought of return. And so God's trying to help us to develop that. And if we do, that he honors us for that. But as well, we can do the right things, but we can do them with the wrong attitude. And it talks about that in terms of giving. It's that we're not to give grudgingly or of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. And so we shouldn't do it out of an obligation. We shouldn't do it where it's just this duty and we're complaining about it. Who knows? Like, any other thoughts in terms of a wrong attitude that we can have when we're trying to do something good? Sometimes it can be where we... I think it could be something, say, where you're doing it thinking that this is going to fix, like, almost kind of cancel every bad thing that you ever did, kind of thing. And it's kind of, we want to realize, okay, well, that's not, like, it's God in his forgiveness has already canceled out every bad thing we do, and so it's not like we can do something expecting that this is going to redeem us, because that's something only God does for us. It's something where God's changing our life around, but it isn't like we're paying back anyway like that, because our debt is too great. But as well, if we're doing good works and we do it in our own strength, right? And it says, "Is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing." That a lot of times we can do what's good, but we can do it in the flesh. And what's going to happen a lot of times when we do it in the flesh, we give of ourselves, and there's doesn't seem to be any payback, there doesn't seem to be any thank you. A lot of times what will happen is we'll get frustrated, we'll get burnt out, and a lot of times we'll just say, we'll get jaded and think, well, I'm not appreciated for what I'm doing, and so why keep doing this? We become weary in doing what's in well-doing. And so we want to understand, as we learn to abide in Christ, we learn to walk in the Spirit instead of in the flesh, then we're enabled to do good with the right attitude. And the good that we do bears much good fruit. And so John chapter 15, again, him speaking of this idea of him being the vine, we being the branches, having to be connected with him. John 15 verse 4 says, "Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." And so it's that thing, is that if we're connected with him, then we're able to do these things and become fruitful in every good work. It says in verse number 16, he says, "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." And so that's the idea. He wants us to bring forth fruit that lasts. And that's what we want to desire to have too. And so 2 Timothy chapter 2, it gives this idea that in our lives there's things that have to be purged from our lives. And he says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." And so it's that sense that we need to draw close to the Lord and have him prepare us for those good works so that we can be as profitable as possible. That's going to, if we have him as part of the equation, then that's going to ensure that our lives are as fruitful as possible. And so that brings us from the idea of being fruitful to the idea of increasing in the knowledge of God. And we really want to understand that the two are very much linked together. And the thing is that our desire should be not to simply know about God, but to know God personally. Because to just know about God, that tends to lead us to pride. While knowing God personally, that tends to lead us to true transformation. And you really can think about this, because 1 Corinthians 8 verse 1, it says, "Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth." Charity builds up. Okay? And the thing is that a lot of times that we get this head knowledge and we become so full of ourselves that really we're not much good to anyone. And there's many theologians through history that, sure, they know a bunch of stuff, but when you actually kind of examine, like, are they exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit? And then a lot of it is like, well, they're not. There's something missing there, right? But when we know about God, you really think about it, the Apostle John, he knew Jesus more than pretty well anyone, because he was so close to Jesus, but you see, he was probably the most humble of all the apostles too, because he was the closest. Because he knew who God, Jesus was, and he knew who he was in comparison. And so in the Gospels, he never even feels worthy to mention himself by name. He just refers to himself as that disciple that Jesus loved. And so you see that humility, and that's what really has the power to change us, is we're us having that relationship with God, that makes that difference. And so the more we increase in that knowledge, knowing God personally, that helps us in our lives. And so we must grow in our knowledge of God to experience the benefits of His power in our lives. And so we really want to get that sense, is that the more I know God, the more I have His power. And part of the challenge that we often face is like misunderstanding kind of the power of God and how it works and how we have access to it. Because a lot of times we almost kind of think of the power as just this thing that God can give us for us to use for our own benefit. And it's like we want the power with no strings attached, where I can do with this power whatever I want. And really we want to understand that we don't get God's power without God with it, right? The Holy Spirit is a source of power, and the Spirit is not just this impersonal force. He's a person. And so He only gives Himself and His power. He always comes along with it. And it's not us where we are directing how that power is used. It's Him directing how His power is used in our lives. And so power, of course, is the ability to overcome by using a resource, right? Where we're trying to do something and we can't do it, but then suddenly we are given the ability to be able to do that. You think of like something that's stuck in the mud, but then you get like a big truck that has a lot of horsepower and they hook on with a chain and suddenly you can get out of the mud, right? That it's that idea. But we want to understand, God's power isn't given to us simply for us to use. It's given so that we might be used by Him. And in a way, you want to think of it this way too, that that God's going to only give His power to someone that He knows He can trust with it, right? That if He has a deep relationship, because He knows, okay, this is something that has a lot of power and it must not be misused, and so I'm only going to entrust it with people that I know can handle it. You could kind of think of it this way, right? That an electrician, that a certified electrician has proven that they know how to deal with electricity without killing themselves or other people, right? Because if the power is not controlled, it can do a lot of harm, right? And so it's kind of the idea is that God has this relationship. He kind of knows where we're at, so that when He gives us His power, that it's not going to be abused, it's going to be used properly. And so the deeper we know God, we have that relationship with Him, the more we're able to be used by God. And as a result, the more fruitful our efforts will be. And it says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3, it says, according as His divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So He's given us His power, right? And it's all that we need to live life and have an abundant life, to be able to develop so that we're righteous and holy like God is. But all that comes through the knowledge of Him that's called us to glory and virtue. That we know Him, and as we know Him and develop that relationship with Him, then we experience His power in our lives. And so, we see Hebrews 13, it says, "And the God of peace make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." That that we want to understand that it's, we're doing these good works, but it's really God doing his work through us to do what's pleasing, right? Because that's almost the thought. It's like, if we're trying to do stuff in our own strength all the time, and thinking, how can I know that this is pleasing to God? Have I done it right? Have I done it enough, right? Where instead, if we have it where we know that God is doing his work through us, he's going to be pleased with his own work, right? And so that's, as we allow him to work through us, that's what makes the difference. And so, being fruitful, knowing God go hand in hand. In our own strength, we can grow weary in well-doing, but as we grow in our relationship with him, he can strengthen us so that we keep doing good for the right reasons. And so what happens is we get to a point where it's no longer just us struggling and trying to do our best and always feeling like we're falling short. Instead, it comes to a point where God starts working through us, that it's not, we look at, this isn't me, this is God. That sometimes we find that, like say if God is kind of prompting us to try to speak and encourage to someone, and we're like, I don't know what to say to this person, but we get to that point where we're following the Lord's prompting, we go to talk to a person, and then suddenly it's like we're remembering these Bible verses that we've never been able to keep in our head, and what we're saying like actually is logically presented and well thought out, when we realize, okay, this isn't something that came from me. This is the Holy Spirit giving me what I needed in that moment. And so it's a blessing when we see that, where it's God's power working in us, working through us. Because it helps us not just to overcome our addiction, but it also helps us to make positive contributions that have eternal value, where we're really contributing something valuable to society as a whole, that we're not a negative, we're not takers anymore, we're givers. And but yet, because God's enabling us, we're not wearing ourselves out by giving. All right, so any thoughts or questions as we conclude?